The opportunity to read the Bible, opportunity for you to receive a copy of Mark's Gospel, an extract from the Bible, offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. It is a good place to begin reading the Bible, short, the point, and it will give you a summary really of what the whole Bible is all about. Important book. It is still, I'm told, the best seller in all the world. Maybe the most purchased, but certainly.
Can I see you, my mate?
Hello, how you doing?
You're all right. Yeah, where are you
I'm good.
From?
Where am I from?
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Newcastle. You?
Just here, mate.
Aye. Call me
where
I'm here. Aye, see ya. So, as I say, it's an important book for you to read because it will give you, well, it gives you an understanding of your origins, that is, where you came from, who made you, how you got here, what he requires of you, and of course, ultimately, your final destination. Many people, I'm sure, in the world today, and in Newcastle also, who have an interest in their future. What does it hold for them? And of course, what is their end going to be? Well, the Bible would inform you, instruct you concerning all these matters and many, many more. The Bible, you might want to know, it demands of us, or rather God does, the one who authored the Bible, because we are told clearly that every word of the Bible is inspired, and that is by God. It has human authors, but they, of course, were guided. They were inspired by God to write the things that they wrote. So when you're reading the Bible, it is important for you to know and understand that it is God's word. It is He who is speaking to you. And God would have you to know that unless there's a change, unless there's a cataclysmic change in your life, your heart, your circumstances, well then, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And of course, well, the Bible gives us the clear reasons for that. It says, rather, Jesus Christ, the Savior, He speaks these words. He says, except ye be converted and become as children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. There are many people, oh I know, there are many who aspire to one day going to heaven. I know why. Well, I read your newspapers. I see in these obituary columns, you know, dearly departed ones. How is it you speak of them being in a better place? You talk about them resting in peace and all such things. Well, if that's going to be your case, if you're going to rest in peace when your life's pilgrimage is over, if you're going to go to heaven, then, well, Jesus says there has to be a change. Bible tells us that there are things that exclude us from the kingdom of God. And of course that ultimately is sin, our sinful natures, and everything that comes from them. So except you be converted, unless there is a turning point in your heart and in your life, or unless, as Jesus puts it elsewhere, unless you're born again, unless there's been a heart change, a supernatural change in your heart, well, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus says, you cannot even begin to understand it. So the Bible is given to you in order that you might receive understanding, that you might grasp, that you might understand what it is that you are and what it is that keeps you from the kingdom of heaven. And of course, how that can be remedied, how that can be rectified. Because you see, ultimately, the Bible is a book about salvation, about redemption. That a person can be saved, that is, from a certain, a real, and a known danger. And that certain danger, of course, is the sin within each and every one of us. Because, as God says, his indictment against the entire human race is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a man who has not sinned. So repentance, a turnaround, a rebirth, a renewal of our hearts and minds is what God demands in order for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. We're all sinners by nature, and not just practice, not just what you do, what you think, and what you say. That, of course, is ultimately sinful, but it's your very nature. Bible tells us that you were born in sin, conceived in sin. You see, sinful parents can only get children, like themselves. We reproduce what we are. And so sinful parents beget sinful children. And so it goes on. But of course, it's because we are sinners by nature, well, that we very naturally sin. So we have to change, we have to alter, we have to convert, not just the speech, not just the thinking, not just the actions, but we have to convert the very nature. Nature must be changed. Bible poses the question, can you change the spots on a leopard? And of course, well, you would say, no, that's its natural condition. Nobody could do that. Well, can you, who are accustomed habitually to do evil, well, how can you possibly do good when it's in your nature to do evil? Well, all things are possible with God. In fact, the Bible says, nothing shall be impossible with God. That change of nature is a possibility, and it's that Jesus refers to when he speaks about a man, a woman being born again, or if you like, being converted, being changed. But Jesus assures us, he says, except ye be converted and become as children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So there has to be a change of mind, there has to be a change of heart, and there has to be a change of life. The mind has to be changed from its darkened state and condition. The Bible says that our minds are darkened by sin. That is, you cannot see the light. The light that is of God, the light that is that will bring life and salvation to you. You see, you need the light, well, of God's creation. You see, God, he says in his word that whoever you are, wherever you come from, whatever your background, whatever your color, your creed, whoever you are, he says, oh man, you are without excuse for not knowing that is that God is, because of all the things that he has made. It is clearly visible that God is. And his creation, the light of creation, God spoke. He said, let there be light, and there was light. But the light of that creation, of course, has been quenched. Your mind has become darkened because you have rejected, suppressed the knowledge of God in creation. But everything that God has made, He declares, leave you, whoever you are, without any excuse at all for not knowing that God is. By the things that He has made, His Godhead and power are clearly visible. And then God has given us the light of His law, His commandments. And of course, those commandments, 10 of them, are a summary of what it is that God requires and expects of us. No other gods but God, the God of the Bible, the God who has revealed Himself in creation and in the Bible and in His Word. But of course, we have broken each and every one of those commandments, all of us. No other gods but God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. You can take any one of them or take them as a whole. We have broken all of them. We break them every day and we break them every moment. You see, that's what sin is. The Bible says sin is transgression of the law. And because of that, you see, sin's wages, the Bible tells us, is death. And we are earning those wages day by day, hour by hour, and moment by moment, setting up wrath for the day of God's judgment. So God, you see, has given to you the light of His law, His commandments. But with your darkened and sinful mind, suppression of the truth, well, you reject not only God's creative activity, but His laws, His rules for living. And the result of it, of course, is the chaos, is all the murder, killing, by abortion, wars, famine, starvation, all the greed that leads to that. You see, a world that's in a mess, a world that is, in a word, utterly lawless. But it is that lawlessness, of course, that Jesus Christ came to save us from. He declared of Himself, I am the light of the world. The ultimate light that God has given to us, His Son, Jesus Christ. But men, the Bible says, love darkness, and so they will not come to the light. You see, people, that's a natural state, natural condition in sin. Not only that we are born in it, not only that we were conceived in that sin, but that we love the sin, we love the evil, we love the wickedness, we love the lust, we love all that lawlessness, and therefore, as a result of that, refuse to come to the light. So unless God does something, unless God miraculously works in our hearts, in our minds, illuminates them, and gives us an understanding of what it is we are, the state that we're in, our lostness, and of course, well, our guilt and condemnation, unless God turns our hearts, our nature round, unless we are converted, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Of course, there has to be a change in our mind, a change, of course, of our carelessness. You know, that carelessness with which people live day by day. Eat, drink, and be merry because, well, tomorrow I die. couldn't care less about anything. Isn't this the good old British attitude? Couldn't care less. Unless, that is, it falls out in your own backyard, then you start to scream, then you start to squeal. But of course, well, the day's coming when it's going to fall out in your own backyard. In fact, day by day, you pick up the consequences of your sinful living. It affects you in body, it affects you in mind, it affects your family, it affects your employment, it affects your society, it affects everything about you in your daily living. But one day, you're going to stand before God's judgment throne. And then, of course, it will fall out in your own backyard like an avalanche, because all flesh shall be judged by God. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So you see, unless you be converted, Jesus says, become as children, trusting, faith that is, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. There needs to be a turning point. There needs to be a conversion experience. That is, a rebirth, being born again, as Jesus puts it. That will bring sobriety, you know, sober you up, bring you to a sober-mindedness, and get rid of that carelessness, that couldn't care less-ness, you know, about anything unless it affects you immediately. So, you see, people, a sobriety that brings a seriousness that is about the things of God. A seriousness, a recognition of your sinfulness, what it's doing to you, and ultimately what it will do to you. A seriousness that leads to a searching after God. Bible tells us, without faith it is impossible to please Him. But the Bible does say that those who diligently seek after Him, they will find Him. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, God says. So, you see, people, this is the change, this is the conversion, this is the turning that's required, that's necessary for a person to enter the kingdom of heaven. There has to be a change of mind. Light received, the light of the truth, the light of God's word. A sobriety, a getting rid of the carelessness, the nonsense, trivialities that we are taking up with in life, and getting serious about sin, serious about getting rid of it, and serious about getting right with God. And of course, there has to be a change from the unbelief to the faith. Because God gives nobody the right not to believe. He created you, and He has a sovereign right over your heart and life, over your entire being, and you will discover one day a right, of course, to be your judge. He's the judge of all the earth, and He always does that which is right. His judgments are true. Yours aren't. Mine's aren't, but His is.
You're right, mate. Sounds
good.
Well done.
Oh, talk to you the other week. How are you doing? Aye.
Brilliant, mate. I read that. Very interesting. Listen to it. Very interesting.
Good.
Getting the other one done soon. I've seen it.
Okay. Okay. Have a nice day. Okay. Have a nice day, yeah. So, you see, people, this is the basic fundamental requirement that a person be converted, that they believe, that they trust in Jesus Christ, God's Son, the ultimate light, the light of the world. Because without faith you cannot please Him, and without faith you cannot be saved. You need to be convinced that the Bible is the truth, that every single word of it is God's truth, to be believed. The truth about God's creative activity. That means a rejection of the lie of evolution. That means a rejection of the lie of godless atheism. Your most popular religion in your land today. Nonsense. Utter nonsense. Just simply wishful thinking. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, the Bible says. Foolish, perverse, darkened, wicked, evil thinking. When you begin to think in that way that there is no God, your mind has already become darkened. But it's just the wishful thinking of ungodly people to take such a notion on board. You wish it to be true, but it is not true. You know differently. You know that there is a God because he has showed it unto you, he says. You know that there is a God because he has stamped the knowledge of himself in your heart and mind indelibly. And no matter how much you fight it, no matter how much you try to suppress it, you can't get rid of it. You know it's true. But of course, in your foolish mind, you say that there is no God because you wish there not to be a God. You would like there not to be a God. You would like not to be accountable. You would like not to have a conscience. You would like to be able to do the greatest wickedness, abominable things to God. But of course you cannot, because your God-given conscience restrains you and holds you back from doing the wickedness that you would do otherwise. He holds you back, you see, by his common grace. But people, to take on board this notion that there is no God, well, that first of all has to be gotten rid of. A rejection of atheism and an acceptance of the truth of God's word, that he is the creator of all things, the universe and everything in it. And your creator also, that he made you in love and for love and to be loved. And of course, the great tragedy of your sin and your sinful rejection of God is that you do not know what love is and have never experienced it. Of course, what you refer to as love in your society today, in the Western world at least anyway, is just L-U-S-T, is just lust. No, an acceptance of the truth, that the Bible is the truth, all of it, from beginning to end, every jot and tittle. The truth concerning God's law, that you're under the condemnation of that law, that those Ten Commandments point the finger at you and condemn you as a sinner, lost, undone, guilty before God, and worthy of eternal damnation. Believing the truth of God's word and being convinced of the fact of your wickedness, your sinfulness, your unbelief, and your need of repentance. Believing the truth of God's word, convinced that it is truth. That's the change required. Except ye be converted and become as children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Convinced, that is, that the Bible is the truth, that is God's word, that he speaks truly when he says repentance is required of you, because except you repent, well, again, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, you shall all perish. Repentance, a turnaround, an about turn, facing the other way, turning your back on sin, lawlessness, your wicked deeds, and turning the other way and going God's way, obedience, that is, to his commandments, worshipping him alone, rejecting the idol of self, and serving God instead of yourself. It means remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy instead of doing your football, hockey, or whatever other sport that you idolize. It means keeping the Sabbath day holy because it's God's day. It means thou shalt not commit adultery. And of course that includes every form of sexual immorality known to you, and I guess then some more too. That means an end of your sleeping around. That means an end of your fornicating. That means an end of your sodomy. That means an end of all that God means when he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Repentance, a turnaround, turning from your sinful ways and turning to God's way, the Bible's way, the truth's way, being convinced that the Bible in its entirety is God's truth, and being convinced, of course, ultimately, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he came into the world to save sinners such as you. Convinced of the truth of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, that he died for ungodly sinners, that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood, that you might be washed and made clean. That all that sin that you've done, all that sin that you've thought, all that sin that you've spoken, and all that sin that you are, that it might be washed away, that you might be forgiven, and that you might know salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It means believing what the Bible says about the Son of God, that there is salvation to be found in no other name, that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to God the Father except through him. That's what it means to believe the Bible, to believe God's Word, to believe God's Son, to believe what he says, that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It means to believe the command that God has given to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what we mean, or rather that's what God means, that's what the Bible means, by faith. It's then, you see, when a person has been converted, turned around, reborn, repented of their sin, except ye be converted, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. But it's then and then only, of course, that your mind will be illuminated. You'll see the light and you'll understand, of course, your true identity. Who it is, what you really are, and of course, well, you know, to walk with God, know God, serve God, love him, and to know, of course, the assurance of salvation, of one day a home in heaven, instead that is of a hellish hovel in the damnation of hell. It's then, of course, that your mind will be illuminated and you'll see who and what is your best influence, instead of following the role models of this world, following Jesus Christ, the one who is your best role model, your best example, the one who, if you follow, will lead you to eternal life, will lead you to heaven. But of course, except you be converted, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. It is then, of course, that your mind will be illuminated and God's truth will have such an impact upon you, it will lead you to salvation, redemption, and all of course that the Bible means by that. Deliverance from your sin, from its guilt, and of course, well, from that terrible, terrible end, that last day which, of course, we all must come to. For it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the end of the story, not what the Bible says, the finish, 6 feet of earth, end of story. That's not what God says. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, then comes the judgment, face to face with your Maker, the one who authored the Bible, and the one who caused it to be in your nation, and even caused it to be proclaimed in your hearing, even this afternoon. You see, there is a day of accountability when you'll stand before God and you'll give account even for this occasion when you heard His word. So be assured, be warned, flee from the wrath to come. Except ye be converted, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Only one way out. Jesus is His name, the Christ, the Son of God, who died for ungodly sinners, who died that you might be made whole, who died that you might be saved, who died that you might go to heaven, and that you might have hope in this world and the world to come. So as I say, it's all written down, pages of the Bible, indelibly. You've had it amongst you a long time. You've still got it for the time being. Make use of it. Read for yourself and see that these things are true according to God's word, according to the Bible. There is no other book of instruction. There is no other word that you can trust. All men are liars. So outside of God's word, there is no truth. Not in science, not in religion, not in philosophy, not anywhere else. Only in the Bible can you find truth. The truth that will liberate you, Jesus says, that will make you free. So I encourage you not just to take my word for these things, but God's. Take it home with you, read for yourself, and see that these things are so. It's offered to you free of charge, no cost or obligation to you. But remember God's command, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Salvation is what the Bible is about from beginning to end. And each and every one of you, under the sound of my voice here this afternoon, according to God's charge, are sinners and in need of salvation. To be found only in Jesus Christ, who Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. You'd like to have a copy of God's word? It's offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. Come and receive one before I go. God bless you.